You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There is a four-letter word well-suited to use in describing this economy of late. Data, people. Data. D-A-T-A. And I'm thinking here in particular of its use to the Federal Reserve, which meets next week to consider, again, what to do with interest rates. Raise them one more time? Skip a meeting, perhaps? Pause for a while longer? Whatever they are going to do, they will have had a slew of new data to consider since their last meeting, including an update on wages. Wage gains, that's the key part, right? Gains, they do seem to be moderating. Average hourly earnings up 4.3% year over year in May, still higher than before the pandemic, to be sure, but well off the pace a year ago of almost 6%. And as Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports now to get us going, we've got some evidence that wages employers are offering for open positions, that is, to job switchers in this economy, they're rising more slowly now, too.
Job postings have been falling as the labor market gradually cools down from the red-hot hiring frenzy of the past few years. At the job site Indeed, which is a Marketplace underwriter, they're down more than 15% since last spring. And, says Director of Economic Research Nick Bunker,
wage growth is coming down.
It's still pretty strong, 5.3% on an annual basis last month, according to Indeed.
But that's a considerable slowdown when you compare it to what we're seeing at the beginning of 2022, when posted wages were growing about 9.3% year over year.
Now, keep in mind, advertised wages are often set pretty high to entice people who already have jobs. Bunker predicts these wage gains will keep slowing and reach pre-pandemic levels by early next year. Joe Galvin at small business advisory firm Vistage says employers are now facing less pressure to outbid each other as their workforces stabilize.
As CEOs downshift into a slowing economy, they are turning the dials at slowing of increase of headcount, not replacing open jobs.
Meanwhile, recent job cuts in tech, media, finance, and elsewhere have some workers worrying they'll face outright wage losses, says John Lear at Morning Consult.
Higher income workers are extremely nervous about their near-term job prospects. They increasingly expect to lose pay or income over the next 4 weeks.
But the situation's not so great at the opposite end of the income spectrum either. Wage gains are actually slowing the most for low-wage workers, says Indeed's Nick Bunker.
The tighter labor market let wages grow faster for workers at the bottom of the income distribution. And what our data suggests is that period of reducing inequality might be fading.
What's more, says Tulane economist Gary Hoover, prices are still rising faster than wages, meaning workers are falling further and further behind.
The drop back to normality in wages is preceding the drop in prices, which is actually putting those people at the bottom of the wage distribution at a disadvantage.
His biggest worry that job growth will also stall along with wage gains. Then there'll be more people with no income facing higher prices. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Sometimes corporate bankruptcy filings are straightforward. There's a filing, there's debtor relief, there's a reorg, and the company gets back to business. Happens all the time. And then sometimes there are retail bankruptcies, which often go a whole nother way. I mention that because Bed Bath & Beyond's journey through Chapter 11 continues. The company is said to be in talks to sell its baby product chain, Bye Bye Baby. But meanwhile, the home goods store BB&B itself is still on a path to extinction. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab explains why retail bankruptcies are just different.
There are enough fallen retailers out there to fill a graveyard. Sports Authority, Sam Goody, and remember Borders Books? The chain's expansion may have seemed borderless until it ran into Amazon.
If you look at the retail industry, the way that companies grow and decay is pretty rapid.
Santiago Galino is a professor of operations at Wharton.
And that's in part because of how dynamic the industry is, because of economic cycles, because of changes in the culture, changes in what customers want.
Yeah, businesses of all kinds are affected by fickle consumers. But because retailers are so close to consumers, unlike, say, manufacturers, they are the most affected. By the time a brand is so out of touch with technology or trends that it has to file for bankruptcy, customers have moved on. And in Chapter 11, companies have just 4 months to reimagine a business plan. It's why most retailers instead look for a buyer. And the buyer, it's going to evaluate what it's getting out of the deal. James Gellert is CEO of Rapid Ratings.
Well, you may be picking up leases and real estate, so you may have location.
Not a huge win, since Gellert says many retailers rent, not own.
But you're really betting on the brand name and a hopefully loyal customer base that wants to see you succeed.
And while if that customer base was that loyal, the company would likely not be in bankruptcy in the first place. So really, there isn't much in retail to acquire, unlike airlines that own planes, or manufacturers that own intellectual property rights, or car makers that own plants full of machinery. All retailers own are shelves full of stuff. Jared Elias researches corporate bankruptcy at Harvard Law.
It's very tempting for the creditors just to say, let's just generate some cash out of this thing, get the money that we need, and then we're done.
A liquidation sale is exactly what it sounds like. The company is going out of business. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.